Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
The fight to reopen Ohio, what one lawmaker, who, by the way, does not like unions, says he will do in the next coming weeks. Meanwhile, the mental toll on first responders is escalating. And today on the broadcast, our labor writer Mark Gruenberg and Sue McConnell of the Better Business Bureau. Good afternoon and welcome to the Monday, May 4th edition of America's Workforce. We call it Labor Radio. We're broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived as well as podcast on awfradio.com. Two guests on the show, as I indicated, Mark Gruenberg will be joining us on behalf of Press Associates Union News Service, and the op-ed page is Washington Window. You often see his columns and writings in the Labor Citizen, which is produced by BMA Media, the producer of this show since 1993. Can you believe that? Well, welcome to the Great Depression. That's what Mark's going to start off with. Unemployment, 20%. Farmers are dumping milk and plowing veggies under. Why? Because there's no markets. We're going to talk about that. The big fight ahead. What will our society and our economy look like post-virus? And that's going to take some time when you talk about post-virus. The mess in the pork plants. We've been hitting this pretty hard. President Trump has ordered them to stay open as essential. Now, think about the worker going into that pork plant or chicken plant or beef plant. 5,000 workers in America that work in those plants now have COVID-19. And some are dying. We're going to get the latest statistics from Mark. There's a really good piece that one of his writers, John Wojcik, did about the coronavirus breakout in South Dakota. It involves a 64-year-old man, Augustin Rodriguez, who arrived on time for every one of his shifts, never absent a day. This is the Smith Foods plant in Sioux Falls, where he labored for 20 years. He came here from El Salvador, continued to work at the United Food and Commercial Workers Organized plant. This was a union plant. He developed a fever and a cough and still went to work because he had to pay his bills. On April 1st, the pain in his side became too much for him to bear, forced him to call in sick 3 days in a row. April 4th. Unable to take the pain anymore, he was hospitalized. On April 9th, his wife receives a call from a testing lab telling her to self-quarantine because her husband tested positive. April 14th, he dies. Started with a pain on April 1, he's dead 14 days later. That's how crazy, how serious this virus is. So we're going to get into that. Also, the post office, which is in dire need of an influx of money. We're talking the financial collapse of the U.S. Postal Service, which has been around since the beginning of America. It's in the Constitution. It could happen anytime between late summer and September 30th without federal aid. And Trump does not want to lift a finger. He is telling them to raise their rates. A lot of this has to do because the post office delivers packages from Amazon. Trump does not like Jeff Bezos. A lot of people don't like him because he's stingy on wages. But nonetheless, he wants them to raise the prices, especially for Amazon. Part of the reason he doesn't like Bezos is because he owns the Washington Post, which has been very critical of Trump, but that's another story. So we'll get into all of that. Sue McConnell, on behalf of the Better Business Bureau, will be joining us later in the broadcast to talk more about the scams that are all over America. Online sales of face masks, online sales of clothing that will protect you from the virus, fake shopping notices, antibody tests. And lastly, and this is like a perennial, puppy scams. Everybody loves those pictures of puppies. You see them online. people go crazy. Oh, I got to have that puppy. I got to have that puppy. They pay big money. Puppy never shows up. So we'll get into that as well. Sue McConnell will be joining us later in the broadcast. Got to tell you what may happen here in the next couple of weeks in Ohio. Our lawmakers are itching to do something crazy. When they return to work, which is going to be next week, they have at least one proposal to reduce the power of the state's top health official. They don't like Amy Acton because she said, you know what? It's probably a good idea to shut down everything so people don't die. And you know what? Ohio's ahead of the curve compared to other states. Well, anyway, guy's name is John Becker. Does that name sound familiar? Oddly enough, he comes from Union Township, which is in southern Ohio, and he is anything but union. I mean, this is the guy that has time after time after time introduced proposals like right to work, curtailing prevailing wage. I mean, anything that has to do with unions, he has come down on. Well, anyway, he plans to introduce a bill that would immediately make all public health orders advisory instead of mandatory, unless approved by lawmakers. The bill would apply to orders issued by State Health Department Director Dr. Amy Acton in recent weeks to address the coronavirus pandemic, as well as future orders. This is what he said in an interview on Saturday. She can issue all the orders she wants all day long, but they are deemed advisory under the bill, unless the General Assembly declares them mandatory. Becker said he doesn't know yet how many lawmakers support his, quote, Need Ohio Working Now bill, but fellow House Republicans have been vocal last week in their criticism of both Acton and Governor DeWine. Becker told the Inquirer that he has been flooded with calls and emails from constituents who are frustrated that the state's economy has not fully reopened. Nearly 1.1 million Ohioans, which is about 18% of the state's workers, have filed for unemployment over the last 6 weeks. The Ohio Department of Health director has broad statutory power to make special or standing orders or rules for preventing the spread of contagious or infectious diseases. Acton and DeWine have issued more than two dozen orders, including limiting large gatherings, halting elective surgeries, closing the polls, and requiring Ohioans to stay home unless leaving for essential work and activities. The state's stay-at-home order, which was enacted March 23rd, was extended to May 29th, with exceptions to allow more businesses to reopen. That's starting up today. DeWine expects more businesses will open in the coming weeks as rules are devised to protect employees and customers in those industries. The goal, to reduce the spread of COVID-19 so our healthcare system is not overloaded. Makes sense, right? Well, Becker and Ohio did that, and it's time to lift all restrictions, he says. Even though we have not seen a decline in deaths. Keep that in mind. I mean, I think if DeWine really had his druthers in all this, he would extend this even further and restrict more businesses. But he's getting a lot of heat. And granted, we did a show on this some weeks back, he may have gone beyond his authority, according to the Constitution. But nonetheless, they're exercising on the side of caution. You have to protect the health of people. But some lawmakers, they care more about people going to work. I understand that part. I totally understand that part. Totally. But if you're not safe on the job, what good is it? That's the big problem. Then we have mental health. The severe mental health toll of the virus on healthcare workers is a growing concern. Bloomberg News is reporting that physicians and nurses at hospitals hard hit by the virus are witnessing patients die at rates rarely seen in civilian medicine. The stress and trauma comes on top of long hours, worry about their own personal safety, and concern over exposing family members. And last weekend, you might have seen this, the director of emergency medicine at New York Presbyterian Allen Hospital died by suicide after weeks of treating coronavirus patients. She developed the virus, recovered, and then took her own life. While hospitals are trying to provide support in the form of crisis lines and respite stations, some employees are critical of lack of hazard pay. Medical residents at NYU were told by higher-ups that asking for hazard pay was, and this is a quote, not becoming of a compassionate and caring physician. How would you like to be told that? Jeez, these are the residents. Now, the residents typically work 80-hour weeks and lack bargaining power because of their status as trainees. I mean, 80 hours a week is enough to drive you crazy. And then you're dealing with a pandemic, and then you're told to shut your mouth. The American Medical Association issued guideline principles recommending residents be eligible for hazard pay. Well, at least the Medical Association is doing that. Whether it's going to happen, that's a long shot. All right, we have to take a break. You're listening to America's Workforce. Mark Gruenberg, our labor writer, coming up next. Don't go away.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output, a half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
This special message goes out to all veterans and dependents of veterans who are living in Cuyahoga County. The Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission proudly provides a wide variety of services and assistance, including the following: filing VA claims, helping obtain disability or widow pensions, assistance obtaining military records, memorial affairs, social work, rent or mortgage assistance, utility bills, food, clothing and hygiene, and VA medical transportation. For more information about these services or your eligibility, call 1-844-405-VETS. That's 1-844-405-8387. Or go online to CuyahogaVets.org. The Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission. Veterans helping veterans since 1886.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world. And we're archived as well as podcast on awfradio.com. By the way, this segment on the broadcast brought to you by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find them online at oft-aft.org. Hard to believe 50 years ago today, 4 students killed, 9 wounded, Kent State University. And in keeping with the commitment to honor and remember the events of that day, the university is having an online virtual program to mark the commemoration with a variety of videos, exhibits, and learning resources. I also want to call attention to a broadcast that we did last Wednesday. It was Bob Giles, who worked at the Beacon Journal. He was the managing editor on that day, and he got the call of what happened. And let's join our live line right now. We have Mark Grunberg, our labor writer. Hey, Mark, welcome to the broadcast once again.
Thank you.
The original broadcast, Bob told us, was that two students were killed and two guardsmen were killed. And that story, it was United Press International that mm-hmm. released that, and it went coast to coast. And it started an anti-student fervor, saying, "Oh, these rebellious kids, we should kill them all if they're going to riot on campuses." And, you know, you got Nixon in the White House at that time, Governor Rhodes, the governor of Ohio here. So it was a nasty time. And you had the anti-war protests. Of course, that's what this was all about. But nonetheless, Bob told us on that show, you got to check that out, awfradio.com, that he waited until he got confirmation that it was four students killed. And they won a Pulitzer Prize a year later after he sent a team of reporters. And it was interesting to point out, too, because that was a different time in journalism, as you well know. They had like 350 people in the newsroom, and today there's mm-hmm. about 30 in that newsroom today. It's amazing. Just amazing.
That may be 30 in the whole newspaper, never mind just the newsroom.
Yeah, that's about it. You're right about mm-hmm. that. Well, welcome to the Great Depression, Mark. I saw that in your talking points today. So what are, unemployment, what, 20%? Is that where we are right now, or what?
Yeah, basically, that's where we are. In the last 6 weeks, 30 million people have joined the unemployment rolls, and since there's a base of about 145 million unemployed, you do the math and you come out with 20 employed, or in the workforce rather, you do the math and you come out with a 20% unemployment rate. You pick up the paper and you see farmers having to plow vegetables under their fields because they don't have markets. Or pouring milk down, or pouring milk into, you know, away because they can't sell it. You can walk down the street of any major city, Cleveland included, in the middle of rush hour, and there isn't a rush hour because there aren't any cars on the road, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the way down the line. We are in a Great Depression in so many parts.
Yeah, and the big question is, how long is this going to go on, and what's it going to look like post-virus? Do we have any kind of scenario here? Maybe you can paint a picture of what America is going to look like.
Well, that was a big topic for us last week. There are two camps. And what America is going to look like. Actually, there's a third one, but that's the white nationalists. But the two big contending camps are us in the union movement and our allies and our opponents. And that means big business, the radical right, almost all of the Congressional Republican Party, and their basic crowd, if you will. And they're already contending, at least in the realm of ideas, and it's going to show up if and when Congress comes back as well. Indeed, the debate started over the last stimulus bill. Over what we're going to look like. And on our side, we'd have another rerun of the Great Depression. We'd have people out in the streets, or actually in not in the streets, certainly, being campaigning other ways for a society that takes care of the working person, just like in 1935, just like in the mm-hmm. New Deal. Except that instead of passing the National Labor Relations Act, we pass the stronger labor law legislation. Instead of passing Social Security and Medicare, Social Security, we pass Medicare for All. Instead of passing the Securities and Exchange Act, we pass something similar that cracks down on profiteering and, again, curbs executive pay. Instead of passing, maybe the one similarity would be a public works program, but in addition to building bridges and highways and things like that, we build green buildings and the internet. And that's one vision. That's ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
The other vision takes you back to you take your pick, either the 1890s or the 1490s. Basically, where there's a small elitist group lording it, and I use the word lording it deliberately, over everybody else. No voting rights, no social safety net, no this, no that, no, you know, something mm-hmm. that does not look like a democracy at all. And in so many words, extremely bleak. You go back to the Middle Ages or before, we'd be enfolding the Middle Ages, but that's what the other crowd wants. In so many words.
Yeah. So there's going to be a tug of war going on, and I could see the right wingers labeling whatever the Democrats mm-hmm. try to do as a socialist environment. I mean, we've already seen mm-hmm. seeds of that planted already with the Green New Deal. So there's going to be a tug of war. The question is, who's going to win out? Who's going to be the most vocal in all this? And I want to go back to the FDR days, because at that time, you recall reading history about how unions were very, very vigilant and made huge strides during that time in the worst of times. I mean, there were pockets of America that were 50% unemployment, 50%. I think overall it was around 25 right. maybe 30%. But
well, it was a reported 25. Let's put it that way. You know, but
yeah.
So,
but I'm just wondering, are we going to see, is it possible in today's environment for a repeat of that activism? I mean, we've seen. And here's what I want to zero on. We've seen the grocery workers like Instacart, Trader Joe's, the non-union shops mm-hmm. saying, you know what, I can't do my mm-hmm. job anymore. And we're seeing it across the board. Union, mm-hmm. non-union, they're being very, very vocal saying, you know what, we need hazard pay. We need masks. We need personal protective equipment. And is some of it's happening. A lot of it is not happening. I'm just wondering if this is the turning point. What are you feeling, Mark?
Well, let's put it this way. We certainly should hope it's the turning point. We have, and I've seen various scholars predict that it will be the turning point, that we will have a rerun of people out in the streets and overcoming the entrenched interests, overcoming the elite, just like we did in 1935. The difference, but the difference, however, and we have to warn our listeners about this, is that in 1935, the elite was back on its heels. They were the ones who had caused the crash. They were the ones who had constructed the bubble that burst in September 1929 and put us in the depression, which officially didn't end until 1938 and unofficially really didn't end until we went into World War II. But this time, the elite is even more concentrated, and it hasn't been put back on its heels. They're saying, we're not responsible for the coronavirus, although, certainly some of them are not responsible for the way they're treating people as a result of the coronavirus. And they're a lot richer now than they were. And they have the political clout now that they didn't in 1932 and 33 and 34 and 35. So that is a big difference. There's also a second big difference, and that's the third group. This is the third contingent. I talked about this in our big story. And that is not just the radical right, but the white nationalists, the extremists, the ones you saw up at Michigan State Capitol last week.
Yeah,
Literally inside
the building, I might add. Inside the building with guns. Yeah.
With guns and Nazi signs and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, don't underestimate. There was white nationalism in 1935, too. People like, you know, Father Coughlin and people like that. But not like what we're seeing today. And they're trying to force their ideas, literally force their ideas, on the rest of the country as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's scary. Yeah. I mean, it scared the governor over there. It's just, and the sad part about that, Trump is using it to his advantage. I mean, he ran out the tweet, liberate Michigan, liberate Wisconsin, and it just fired him up. Oh, there's good people on both sides. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had this May Day protest on Friday. I know you covered the preliminary story on that. Do you have any indication on how widespread that was? Because I know that involved Amazon, Instacart, Whole Foods, Walmart. It was a nationwide thing.
It was a nationwide lunchtime walkout, and I guess, from what I could gather reading the stories over the weekend, it was tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of workers walked out. Now, admittedly, that's only a lunchtime walkout, but some only. If all of a sudden they get to, it's like laying down your tools and sitting in the factory in what happened in the great auto strike in 1938, where you had the great sit down in Flint. You lay down your tools, or in this case, you don't drive your cars, or you don't man the assembly lines or pack the packages, and that makes a statement. All those people basically refusing to work because, in this case, they have been mistreated up to here. In 1935, it was no wages and no work. Now it's low wages and no protection.
Well, speaking of which, let's talk about that next. I have to take a break. We're going to get into what's happening at the meat plants in America. Trump wants them open, but they're not getting what they need to stay alive. Also, the post office. What's going to happen to the United States Postal Service? We could see the end of it in a couple of months. Sue McConnell, the Better Business Bureau, will be joining us later in the show to talk about more scams, and many of them involving the coronavirus. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
If it impacts the livelihood of Ohio's labor trades, you'll find it in the Labor Citizen. America's oldest labor newspaper still provides the most comprehensive coverage of the issues that matter most to Ohio's union construction industry. Each edition includes information many unions use to send out in a monthly newsletter, along with an interesting mix of feature stories and news. The Labor Citizen is a growing force for Ohio's union construction industry. The full-color tabloid is already being delivered to the active members and retirees from nearly 50 different building trade unions. You won't find this level of coverage anywhere else. But the only way to have this valuable monthly publication delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trade union is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting. Or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com for more information. That email address again is info@laborcitizen.com.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
The Food and Drug Administration has recently reported that the heartburn medication Zantac is linked to cancer. Zantac has been linked to a variety of cancers, which include bladder, colorectal, kidney, liver, pancreatic, and stomach. So if you or a loved one took Zantac and developed any of these types of cancer, you need to call Kelly and Ferraro. 216-575-0777. Let me repeat that number. 216-575-0777 for a free case review. You may be entitled to compensation from the drug manufacturer.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived as well as podcast on awfradio.com. First Monday in May, that means it goes to Mark Gruenberg, our labor writer, joining us on our live line. We talked about what the future may look like with COVID-19. Hopefully people will be getting back to work in a safe environment. That's not the case right now, especially in the meat processing plants. All right. This is a really good story, by the way. Is it John Wojcik? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Wojcik, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good story about a guy who came here from El Salvador. He wanted a better life. He worked hard, never missed a day, 64 years old. He goes to work at the Smithfield plant, April 1. He's got a pain in his side. 14 days later, he's dead. I mean, this is such a sad, sad story. And he's not, what is it, 5,000 workers at these plants now have COVID-19? What's the latest numbers on that, Mark?
The latest numbers are at all the plants nationwide is it's up there around 5,000, maybe even more. At that one plant, in the Smithfield plant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, there are 6,700 workers and 900 of them have tested positive. And two have
Amazing.
Died. He's one, and then somebody else died a couple of days later. But the point is that despite this, despite the fact that if you were to walk into a meatpacking plant these days, you would think you were walking into a meatpacking plant in 1906, when The Jungle was published, the president issued an executive order saying that meat packing, and that includes chickens and beef and pork, poultry and beef and pork, is an essential job, and those workers are to go back to work even without protective gear, even if they still have to stand side by side, which they do on these production lines, even if the production lines are still sped up so that the packers have more profits. Because the more chickens or the more hogs go by on the line and come out at the other end, the more they can sell, and that way the more profits they can make. And the conditions still stay just as dangerous now in those plants, almost as they were in 1929. The difference is that supposedly there's inspections, but that's another part of what Trump did, and he did it early in his term, way before this, which was to put basically the bosses in charge of the inspecting rather than the Food Safety and Inspection Service in charge of the inspecting. So, yeah. So the result is that these meat workers and have been forced to go back to work under dangerous conditions. They don't have the protective gear. They don't have the masks. They don't have some protective gear. The suits they normally wear to work, but those aren't good enough when you have a virus going around, and they're stuck. Because the president is forcing them basically to go back to work and take the chances that they're going to be like this poor gentleman in South Dakota, die.
Yeah. Talk to me about the food and commercial workers. Now, they represent the workers at the Smithfield plant. There's other meat processing plants that do not have a union in them. If they don't decide to go to work, say, wait a minute, my health is at risk here. You're pushing me. Obviously, in a union shop, you're going to have more protections, right? To say no, I'm not going to go. I mean, and the other part of this, too, I understand the side of the workers is saying, especially if they're trying to feed their families, they want to get paid. And I don't know how it's going to, if they refuse to go to work, do they get unemployment compensation? I mean, there's a lot of ifs and questions on this whole scenario. Have you been able to figure any of this out right now?
Well, there are some governors, including the governor of Iowa, who are saying if you don't go back to work, you aren't going to, and if you don't go back to the job you were told to leave when the plant closed, to be cleaned, in so many words, deep cleaned, if you don't go back to your job, you're not going to get unemployment benefits.
Okay.
You're not eligible, in so many words. And it's interesting to note, of course, that the governor of Iowa is a Republican who is beholden to the meatpacking bosses. Does this sound familiar? This sounds like the 1890s also. So, the other governors, the jury is still out. Most of these plants are concentrated in the three states west of Illinois, Minnesota, Iowa, a little bit in Wisconsin, a little bit in Missouri, a little bit in western Illinois. That's hog country out there, hog and beef, hog and cattle country. But the poultry plants are in the south, and the situation there is just as bad.
Yeah.
If not worse.
Oh, it's always, always been like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, these workers do not make a lot of money. Some of them just barely over minimum wage, and the injuries are ridiculous. OSHA hardly ever inspects them, and you see fingers cut off, arms cut off. I don't know. It's just so sad.
In both poultry and pork plants, a lot of the workers are undocumented people.
Yeah.
So of course, if they raise their voices, the next thing you hear about is ICE raids.
Yeah.
Including, as I remember, in Akron. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, a lot of these companies, and barely do they get a fine, too. They'll take the workers out, and then they'll say, well, my business is hurt, and I'll have to shut down. So it is a real tough one to navigate. There's no question. All right, one more here. Postal Service. Are we going to see the end of the Postal Service right now? Because Trump seems to be holding his ground on this one.
Trump is basically trying to blackmail the postal. I hate to use the word blackmail the Postal Service into becoming, among other things, a non-union shop if it doesn't get any aid. Let's back up just to set the scene for everybody. For years, the Postal Service has been running at a break-even stage on its mailing operations. The money that came in from the packages, the money that came in from the first class mail, it was breaking even or even making a slight profit, even in the Great Recession a decade ago. But, and this is the big but, in 2006, the Republican-run Congress passed a, quote, postal reform, unquote, bill, and George W. Bush signed it, which basically loaded the Postal Service with a $5.5 billion annual charge for pre-funding its retiree health care benefits for the next 75 years. In other words, you had to pay $5.5 billion every year to pay for retiree health care benefits somewhere down the road. Nobody else in the country is loaded with that. So every year, the Postal Service would be in huge red ink because of this thing. And every year, that gave the radical right and big business a chance to shoot at the Postal Service, saying, look, it's all economic, it isn't making money, yada, 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 let's privatize it. Well, comes this crash, and the package shipments go up. Everybody is depending on the Postal Service for packages, for their food, for their medicines, everything else like that, even more so now than they did before because all the businesses are shut down. And the only businesses that are going, like grocery stores, you wind up delivering rather than people actually going to the grocery store. But the first class mail volume, which is what had been going, had been declining because of the internet, but not this way, fell off a cliff. Mm-hmm. So the Postal Service is now saying, we're going to run out of money. Just like any other enterprise in this country, we're going to run out of money. We need money to tide us over. And Trump is saying, yeah, we'll give you your money only if you slash workers, slash service, cut deliveries, raise prices on the packages, so on and so on and so on. And by the way, tear up your union contracts.
Yep. Yep. That's what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. And he hasn't
What's the mood? What are you picking up? Because I know they have a lot of friends in Congress. We have to point out, too, that, 25% of the workers at the Postal Service are veterans? So you're going to be screwing a lot of military vets here if you decide to do this?
Or women or people of color. Take your pick.
Right. Now, I know they have a lot of friends in Congress. Mm-hmm. What do you see happening here, especially in the House? I know they have a lot of support in the Senate, in the House. Maybe not so much in the Senate, but what are you hearing?
What I'm hearing is that that the House, when they get to work, and they're already talking about another economic stimulus law, they're going to put in the money for the Postal Service. They tried last time around, but McConnell preempted them. He gave them a take it or leave it bill. With basically just an extension of a line of credit, but nothing else. This time, the House is going to be insistent and say, we gotta give the Postal Service some real help here. There is one more point to keeping the Postal Service alive. And for everybody in Ohio, I'm sure you just went through your primary, and most of your primary was vote by mail.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What happens if there's no mail?
There you go.
Yes. You've just disenfranchised a lot of people. So
we're going to leave it on that note. It's not pretty. Not pretty. We're talking between late summer and September 30th. Without any federal aid, they'll be out of business. We're going to try to get Mark Diamondstein on the show. That's the lead union on this one. There's four unions altogether, but Postal Service is in dire need of money, and I mean right away. All right, Mark, we're going to leave it there. You take care. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
Okay.
All right, quick break. Mark Gruenberg, our labor writer on our live line. Sue McConnell, the Better Business Bureau, she's coming up next. You are listening to America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes.
Lyona, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output, a half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for communications and events needs, because BMA knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to help unions capture market share, conduct marketing campaigns, partake in political education, promote labor management, organize membership development, and support issues such as prevailing wage, project labor agreements, responsible contracting, and workforce training. They also plan and produce special events such as conventions, conferences, and anniversary celebrations. The BMA Media Group, marketing union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit bmamedia.com. That's www.bmamedia.com for all the labor tools you need to move your union into the future.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived as well as podcasts on awfradio.com. Let's go to line number two and welcome one of our regulars, Sue McConnell, on behalf of the Better Business Bureau, BBB.org/Cleveland. And as I indicated at the top of the show, a lot of scams out there related to the coronavirus. Hey, Sue, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Sure, thanks.
And tell me about these, face masks now? I see a lot of articles on how people can make face masks. My wife is doing that. She's done, I think, about 150 for friends and family right now. But then you got people that are selling them. What do we know? What's going on there, Sue?
We're having a lot of reports on our scam tracker site from consumers. You know, now that people are starting to head back to work and we're going to have some retailers opening up, people will be looking for face masks, and a lot of companies are lurking online that seem to be selling face masks, and they seem to be legitimate companies. But when you start digging a little bit, you find out that there are a lot of red flags. For example, we had a woman from Maple Heights report that she went online and purchased some face masks from a site called Teenamil. It's spelled T-E-E-N-A-M-I-L. And when you look at the site, it appears to be a nice family-owned business at an address in Florida. And there's a beautiful picture of the family sitting outside at like a picnic table. But when we started investigating it, because this woman from Maple Heights, she ordered face masks and never got them, and then she wasn't getting any response from the website. We searched for that image of the happy family sitting outside at the picnic table and found out that it had been used over multiple shady websites selling various products, and that it seemed to be an actual picture of a cooking group, like some friends that put a cooking group together and they were enjoying one of their meals. And then when we searched the registration of the website on whois.com, we found that it had just been created within the last 3 or 4 months and registered from a foreign country. So if you're online looking, yes, a lot of red flags. So if you think that you're going to go online and find face masks, you really need to research the company very carefully. Look up the website at whois.com, and you'll see when that site was created and what country the registration originated. So you'll see if it's a really new site, and if it's registered from a foreign country, it's probably best to look someplace else. And then just Google it or check our website at bbb.org, see what other people have reported.
Yeah. Beware the happy family, because they can make you very unhappy.
Right.
That's a great service. I remember you telling me, whois.com, go to that website, and you can really flush a lot of this out. That's a great service there, whois.com. Okay, a lot of people working from home, and, you know, we hear a lot about online shopping at home. So you get a few breaks in your day at home, and then next thing you know, you're ordering this and that. More scams in this regard, Sue, I take it?
Absolutely. And a lot of these get served up as ads on like Facebook and social media, of what look like very pretty pieces of clothing and very affordable prices. And again, they look so legitimate. And what happens is a lot of the pictures of the clothing are lifted from other sites, and they're plastered on a website that's been created by some scammer who is trying to get you to order from them and really not get you anything. Or what you get, it doesn't look a thing like what you saw online. So again, be very cautious. If you're sitting at home ordering clothes and things online right now. If it's not somebody that you've typically ordered from and you just get served up some ad online, research it very carefully. But if you are going to order online, the best way to do it is with your credit card. That way, if you have any problems, you don't get the order, you can contact your credit card company and dispute that charge and have some recourse. Whereas if you use mm-hmm. like a bank debit card or you mail a check, that money is gone and could be difficult, if not impossible, to retrieve.
Now, what about these antibody tests? Are there some scammers out there saying that they could test you for COVID-19? Is that happening?
Yeah, that is also something we've been warning consumers about is, you know, the FDA really has a very limited, you know, there's a lot of controversy about the effectiveness of these tests. Even if you find a company that the Food and Drug Administration has given some authority to sell, it's a very limited number of companies are allowed to do this. You can find the names of those companies at FDA.gov. But the effectiveness of these, there's a lot of controversy out there, and people just need to take a breath and wait, because there really is not a great reliable source of in-home testing that you can buy. And if companies are offering to do an antibody test for you, you need to, again, research that company carefully, find out where they're getting these tests, see if the FDA has heard of this company before you rush out to try to get something like this done. You know, we're all looking for this antibody testing to be something that shows that we've had this disease and we're fine, and there's not even really enough evidence to know if you've had this disease that you won't be able to get it again. So right. I think people are really, they're grasping for hope, they're desperate, they're searching for answers, and that makes us all very vulnerable to unethical companies, to scams, to criminals that are really taking advantage of our fear and our concern to try to sell us things that in a normal situation we'd be very skeptical about. But considering everything that's happening right now, we're just a lot more vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they figure, what do you got to lose? Let's try this out. And then you find out you're a victim of a scam. Real sad that it's happening. Mm-hmm. And the Internet just makes it worse. It really does.
It makes it so easy for criminals to do this.
Okay, one more here. Everybody loves those little puppies, and you and I have had many conversations over the years where there's puppy scams out there. Is this is this taking a special notice right now in these times?
Yeah, it really is. Again, on our scam tracker site, bbb.org/scam tracker, we've had several local reports from people who, hey, I'm at home. This is a great time to get a pet. Pets are great emotional support. They're great distraction. And when you're home, you have plenty of time to train them. And people are looking for particular breeds of puppies. They find out that if they can find a local breeder, that sometimes these breeds are very expensive. So they go online. And there are puppy scammers that are online that advertise the sale of very popular breeds of dogs. They have lots of pictures of cute puppies. They have extremely affordable prices. I mean, I'm talking $300 for a dog that might cost you $1,200 from a breeder. So people are reporting that they've been trapped and tripped by these companies who take initial payments from you, and then as soon as they have that money for the dog, they get back to you and claim there's some special crating needed for shipping or some vet bills that need to be paid, and they just keep hitting you and hitting you up for more and more money. And the people locally have reported this to us. Again, they find these companies online when they search for different types of breeds of puppies. They never ever see the animal. This is all done online based on a photograph, which is not a way to pick a dog or any pet. And they realize that they've been scammed, because there is no dog, and all they get are more requests for more money for various reasons. until they just stopped communicating with the company, and the dog never, there's just no dog. It's just a total scam.
Very sad. They just string you along, get more money
out
of you.
Yeah, they do. You know, and we have so many great services that can provide rescue dogs, and if you're really looking for a pet right now, you know, reach out to places like rescue sites and get your dog, at least see the dog in person, you know, before you decide to pay for a dog, at least see it and look at it.
Very good advice. All right, Sue, we're going to leave it on that note. bbb.org/Cleveland for more information. You take care, be safe, and we'll be talking to you in the beginning of June, okay?
Same to you. Thanks.
Okay, Sue McConnell of the Better Business Bureau. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, the latest from the Ohio AFL-CIO and the fight over non-compete agreements. Until then, you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.